In this episode, you'll discover how to use the power of video marketing to retain your existing customers.
Discover how video can help you achieve your sales and marketing goals. It all starts right here in Todd Hartley's Video Marketing Mastery.
Hey now, what is up? Well, the quarantine continues to mush on. Bandages are off my nose. My nose is starting to heal nicely. In fact, if you look closely, you'll notice. But from a distance, things are looking pretty good. Don't feel much like a monster anymore. And my torn right calf muscle is now back. And I got my first light jog in this weekend. I'm at 11-minute miles right now. We'll work my way down into the 7-minute range where I belong. YouTube and WAS are in the news. Mashable reports Bitcoin scams are causing a lot of headaches right now, and they've gotten so bad that the co-founder of Apple is suing YouTube because of what's going on. Now, Steve Wozniak filed a lawsuit this week against YouTube over a string of Bitcoin scams. Videos that were hosted on the website, and the videos use Wozniak's name and his likeness to trick people into clicking on the videos and taking action and promising more return, even more Bitcoin in return. Now, Wozniak's lawyer points out that while Twitter quickly responded to its own Bitcoin scam last week, they accused YouTube of doing nothing in order to profit off the videos. Now, 17 of the victims of Bitcoin scams have joined Wozniak to sue YouTube. And they want YouTube to immediately take down the videos and warn other users about these scam giveaways so they can be avoided in the future. Now, they also want YouTube to pony up an undisclosed amount for these charges. If you want to keep your eye on this story. Now, what's unique about it is this story is really loaded with a can of worms. Watch and see how this plays out on the news, and then you'll see how YouTube and other types of sites like YouTube, like social networks, will have to react going forward. Chris Taylor in Mashable writes, every self-help book ever, you can boil down into these 11 rules. Let me break them down for you. Number one, take one small step. You know what they tell you? It's like, if you're trying to coach somebody and you give them the full big piece, it's kind of like the trying to eat an elephant. Like, people won't be able to do all that. In fact, they'll resist all of the big picture. So if you give people one small action and that action builds on top of the next, they can actually absorb it, take action, and then when they're ready, you give them the next action. Now, the reason I bring this up is I want you to think about where you coach people and how often you might give them the full picture. And instead, I want you to think about dialing it back. Give them the full picture, then dial it back into the one small step principle. That's the first point. Number two, change your mental maps. Now, we're all in charge of the maps that we follow in order to accomplish things. In the last year, I struggled with some issues that I went and sought help on. And with each and every session, the business coach / therapist would say, why don't we just change your mental map of the way you do this? So in the past, and I actually feel like I've graduated, I used to struggle with frustration. I'd lash out at people if frustration started billowing up. And so what I've done instead is I've changed my mental map. My mental map doesn't tell me to lash out and react. Instead, my new mental map tells me, take a deep breath. All you have is that space between the what is driving you, what is inspiring you to act, and your reaction. And there's a space between that. Honor it. Change your mental maps and great things can happen for you. Number three, struggle is good and scary is good. Now, I think about this. I think about my life transformations and overcoming adversity and dealing with learning disabilities and attention disorders, all of which I have no reason to tell you. I'm not looking for your sympathy. I'm not hoping that you're going to be easier on me. I bring it up for one purpose. If I can get over that, if I can get over that struggle and I can become better because of it and persevere, you can get over whatever is happening inside of your life. And the second point inside of number three is scary is good. Scary is really good because whenever your back is up against the wall, when push comes to shove, the people that rise up, that evolve, that get to the next step are the ones that recognize that through scary is where evolution happens. Evolution happens when your back is up against a wall or you've decided that you're moving forward and you can't be in this original state anymore. So make sure you recognize the value of the struggle, and the scary part is valuable too. When my wife went through breast cancer, when we went through that together, it was the scariest thing I have ever dealt with in my life. It was so much worse than the heart procedure I needed to have some 5 years before. And the reason is I was totally out of control. Scary is good because as my wife and I are now going through COVID and we've gone through other crises, she has said to me, "Oh, dude, we've got this. We've already gone through crisis. This isn't anything." Scary is good. Allow it to build and allow that struggle to also be something that you value. And if you ask my wife today, what about the breast cancer experience and what was it like for her? The first thing she will say is, and I know this sounds weird, she'll say, breast cancer was actually good for me and I know it was good for Todd. It was good for us because it got us to this next stage in our lives. That's number three. Number four, instant judgment is bad. Oh boy. Instant judgment is so bad that it doesn't allow us the same type of respect that we would expect other people to project onto us. You know, when you're telling somebody something that is very personal, or you're trying to relate or get some guidance from somebody, and they provide you instant judgment, your first thing to do is to close your arms. You want nothing to do with that. You're now protecting yourself again. People who instantly judge, you know what you should do? They are anchors in your life. You should be surrounded. If I grew up on the beach, if I look at things like boat metaphors, which I often do, if you're going to surround yourself with people who are propellers, not anchors. Anchors think they're doing you a favor, but they aren't. Instead, snip those anchors and rely on propellers and plug ahead. But in your life, when you are the one that is judging, allow that bell to go off in your head. Recognize instant judgment is bad. It is a lot like the reactions that I mentioned before when I was talking about the maps and my frustration and lashing out. Soft pedal your judgment. Allow the story to process. Give yourself some time to think about how you want to react. Let me give you an example. A young member of the family said to me, and by young, I mean preteen, said, "What do you think about boys that are attracted to boys?" Instant judgment is bad. Take a deep breath. React. My reaction, because I had time to process, was exactly how I want to present myself. I want everybody to be able to love and find love with people that they're naturally attracted to so they can go out and live their best life as they see fit. Remember, that was not my instant judgment. It's the way my heart feels and my brain feels. Instant judgment is bad. And as I look at it, I've got a bunch of family members that are gay, that are my biggest mentors in life. But if I would have instantly judged, I might have given the wrong answer. Number five, remember the end of your life. Use that as an opportunity to think of yourself at the end of your story. And what story will you have loved to live out? Can you do that? If you can remember the end of your life and then start using that as an opportunity, recognizing how limited time we have, maybe that's the great thing that happened from the struggle that my wife went through and scary being good. Maybe we remembered the end of our lives and then we had an opportunity to do more and be a better couple and fill ourselves with love. So remember, the end of your life gives you the opportunity to think about who you want to be. I just went to a funeral of a family member, a COVID funeral, with a mask on my face, which is a very odd thing when you are trying to mourn. And everybody got up and talked about this man being a great man. How do you want people to tell your story and to remember you? Number six, be playful. Oh yeah, I want you to be playful in all things. Life and love is an expression of being playful and fun. So even when things are difficult, example, when my wife went through breast cancer, when we were waiting for the doctor, and you would wait there for 40 minutes. Any of you that goes and meets with a patient, you know what that's like. We would wait for 40 minutes in that room, sometimes an hour. And so we were playful. Like my wife, who's a yoga instructor and a yoga therapist, she would be sitting on the table waiting for the doctor, and I would be doing a yoga class, trying to keep my wife entertained. Be playful. Number seven, be useful to others. I look at this as be of service. Like I love to serve and I learned it from waiting tables. My love for serving transfers to my clients here and the relationships that I build with them. It is serving people. But at the core, it's being useful to other people. The more useful you are, the more value you can have in their lives, the more indispensable you'll be, the more resilient you'll be going through crisis like we're living through right now. But that also means, just like a waiter, you have to anticipate when you want to be useful to others, you have to anticipate what that person's next need is. And then and only then can you start providing it to them, helping them, guiding it. Be useful. People will keep you around forever. Number eight, perfectionism equals procrastination. Now, I know this firsthand. I've worked with plenty of people over the years that were brilliant, but worthless because they procrastinated so long because of their perfectionism that nothing got delivered. Very few things got delivered. And when it got delivered, they wasted so much time in the process that it actually wasn't even as valuable. So instead of perfectionism and its equivalent friend, procrastination, what I want you to do is I want you to think of your content, your information should be very good, but it doesn't have to be perfect. And the people who are focused and obsessed on perfectionism, they will never get that. And I learned this from the radio. You know, I used to be a talk show host. We used to have to do 4 live hours, Monday through Friday, in drive time, on the number one station in Arizona. We did not have the privilege of being perfectionists. We had to specialize in being very damn good because you got to go on the air and get up the next day and do it all over again. Number nine, sleep, exercise, eat, chill out, repeat. All of that is so essential. It is really about routine. My wife, Wendy, is a built-in routine machine. I didn't grow up in a house that had routines. Every day was a new day. In my wife's life, every day is like the day before, and she emulates all of the important things. At 4:30, she wakes up and does her meditation. By the way, she's on a different level. By like 5:30, she does her yoga. By 6:30, she's taking the dog out. By 11 o'clock, she takes the dog out again. By 3 o'clock, the dog goes out again. By 8 o'clock, the dog goes out one more time. The repetition of every day, she gets into bed at the same time. It starts at 8 o'clock. She opens a book. The light goes off at 8:30. Why am I telling you this? Because the enhanced life happens when sleep, exercise, eat, and chill out happens on repeat. I just got myself one of these Aura rings that's helping me track my sleep because I know I need to get into a repetitious cycle like you need to have in your life. My first night, I got 19 minutes of REM, of a full night of sleep. Now I'm working on perfecting that. Sleep, exercise, eat, chill out, and repeat. Number 10, write it all down. Now what I'd like you to do is if you're a writer and you're coming up with creative ideas, or if you're just a creative, or maybe in business you're creative and you need to brainstorm, just regularly each day find time to allow a data dump from your head onto paper and allow that muscle to grow. Repetition, like Tony Robbins teaches. Repetition is the mother of skill. Get into that repetitious cycle. Start allowing the ideas to free flow onto paper, and you'll be surprised the brilliant ideas that drop out of your big dome. And number 11, you can't get it all from reading. You can't. Life, experiences, growth, maturation happens from pain and frustration and hardship. It's just like scary is good and some pain is good. So you can't get all of this from reading. You got to get it from real life experiences. But the only way that you can benefit from those real life experiences is if you continue to evolve. Because if you don't, life's going to be like Groundhog Day and you're always going to stub yourself in the toe. Now, this is a great article from Mashable. I will put it on the show notes page. And the 11 simple rules that were gathered from all of these self-help books come from Chris Taylor. Check out that article. Very interesting. Gmail. Well, there's a Gmail update. Quick show of hands in the comment section below. Make sure that you put a yes or a that's me if you use Gmail for your work or your personal. Forbes is reporting an official blog post from Google. Well, Google has announced that the most radical redesign of Gmail in its 16-year history is on the way. In a transformative move, Google has integrated messaging, video chat, shared file access, virtual meeting rooms, real-time collaboration, and more directly into Gmail, turning it into an all-in-one productive suite. Gmail now stands apart from every rival service. Now, let me tell you why this is important. We're all going mad in our heads. We're going crazy because we're going from one program, Gmail, opening up our calendar, boop, going into Slack or Skype, having a conversation, not remembering if that conversation came from email, did it come from Slack? Now you look at your calendar, you've got text messages, you've got all these different things, and nobody can remember if you were in Zoom when you had that call, or if you shared the file through Dropbox or Google Drive. Looney Tunes. And about 10 years ago, Wirebuzz was approached by a company that was solving this very problem. Created an API to integrate with all the different types of email services and then provides one suite for you to be able to access all of that. Now, that company, it took longer to develop than they could afford. But Google is loaded. And here it is 10 years later. Make sure when you get that opportunity, you start using all the integrative tools in the hopes that it simplifies this and you spend less time at therapy. Google's vice president, Javier Salerdo, said, "One thing we've learned again and again from our users is how switching between apps interrupts their flow and interrupts their focus. And that's why in this new integrated experience, we've been thoughtful about how you work and help make it more fluid." Mashable reports that Lyft is starting to distribute plastic partitions for drivers to install in their cars. The partitions are going to give Lyft's most active drivers in DC, LA, Seattle, Boston, and in Hotlanta, Denver and Baltimore have already received theirs, but all those other cities that I just mentioned, they're going to receive their plexiglass dividers in the next few months. Now, Lyft plans to drop off the dividers in 30 different regions where the company operates. They'll eventually add up to 60,000 drivers with free partitions and 1.4 million Lyft drivers within the U.S. and in Canada. Now, if you rewound back into February, this was not part of Lyft's big plan. COVID wasn't either, and neither was COVID part of yours. But your business takeaway is you pivot in order to prosper whenever you can. I haven't used Lyft or its big sister, Uber, since early March when I had to do a business trip in Miami at the Miami Breast Cancer Conference. What about you? Now, recognizing that there is a threat to the marketplace for Lyft, they were fast to react, and now they're starting to have these partitions come. And I'm sure they're creating a video to teach people how to use these dividers and put them up so they can provide greater protection. In your business, how are you pivoting in order to prosper? Think out of the box. Don't wait for life to go back. How many people are actually going to continue wearing their masks going forward after COVID? When life goes back to normal, a large percentage of people won't be going back to normal. This will be their new way of interacting. And if your business wants to succeed, it is time for you to start thinking about how do you pivot to prosper in this new world? And for a lot of companies, they're stuck not being able to sell the way they used to. And that has created a huge problem. It is time to pivot and prosper. And if you want to learn how to use the power of video to help your sales team sell at faster rates, I've got 20 minutes of free learning for you at wirebuzz.com/remote-sales. You can get all that information and start crushing your deals faster. Now, let's get into today's topic. One of my favorites, it's actually when we talk about how to use the power of video to retain your existing customers, when I teach the framework for a successful video marketing strategy, it really happens in 4 points. Let me flip this on its side. The first point, which is zone one, is discovery. When somebody finds you on social, or maybe through a webinar, or an ad, or your email, that's zone one. The goal of zone one is to move people to zone two, your website. And that's where you move them through a customer journey. Zone three is how your salespeople use the power of video. Zone three does not happen in chronological order. It happens anytime your salespeople recognize that their prospect is confused. I did a whole episode on all of this. And individual episodes, go back to the wirebuzz.com blog or the Toddcast and start looking for that information. It'll change the way your business sells. But zone four might have the most immediate impact. Zone four is where you get to retain your existing customers and delight them. Now, on average, loyal customers are worth, I want you to think about it. Let me just pump the brakes. What do you think a customer is worth after their first purchase? Compared to their first purchase, what do you think the other purchases are worth? Okay. Going to be a times amount, times blank, times two, times three, times four, times five. What do you think? On average, and this comes out of Marketing Tech Blog, loyal customers are worth up to 10 times as much as their first purchase. I've worked with plenty of people over the years that think they're working on behalf of the Justice Department. Like if they're offended, they're going to tell their client to beat it. If they're offended, they're going to tell people, to screw off. We don't need your business. Are you kidding? That loyal customer is worth up to 10 times as much as the first purchase. To acquire a new customer, I don't know what it costs. Close to $2,000 for my company. Maybe $2,500. And in doing so, do I really want to reinvest? Because I think I work for the Justice Department and I'm here to start punishing people. I'm here to reward people. I want people that I do business with to succeed. I look at this like a waiter. If I got to buy your entree to have you come back multiple times, I'm buying your entree. If you weren't satisfied, I'm not going to give you a free dessert and send you on your way. When you walk out that door, you got to be thrilled because I want to be a part of your life and serve you going forward. It's a completely different world than people that are willing to kick their customers out the door because they didn't like the way they were spoken to or they didn't like the way the first deal worked out. We're here to learn, evolve, and grow. And you should be doing it with your existing customers more than anybody. HubSpot, here's a great quote. Now, this stat's important. You're 60 to 70% likely to sell to an existing customer. Let's think about this. If your business is in financial troubles right now, you're 60 to 70% likely to sell to an existing customer, meaning that's your odds of getting a yes out of somebody you've already serviced, compared to the 5 to 20% likelihood of selling to a new prospect. So if you're somebody that can't maintain existing relationships, or maybe your ego gets in the way, you're going to start over all the time. at a rate of 5 to 20% likelihood of selling to a new prospect. Or you can humble yourself and sell to people at a rate of 60 to 70% to your existing customers. Which one's going to help your business grow? And if your company isn't cross-selling to your existing customers and then upselling them, you're leaving a massive amount of money on the table. So in this episode, I want to dial this in. I want to teach you how to sell más rápido to people who are already in your sphere of influence. They already love you. You've already worked with them. From the National Law Review, it can cost 5 times more to acquire a new customer than keep your current ones. Like in my business, I look at it like this. Hey, if somebody needs another edit, don't argue with them. Just do it. We'll make up for it on the next project or the one after. But don't make them feel like a little hourly rate is worth them starting all over. I can't even tell you last year how many times we had to charge clients for additional edits. Out of the 3,000 videos that we did last year and the year before, maybe one or two, maybe they got up past, you know, 3 edits past what we had already budgeted, or 4 edits, and somebody brought it to my attention. It can cost 5 times more to acquire a new customer than to keep a new one. So think about this. Let's go back to my world for a second. If I told you in this 5 times more to acquire a new customer than to keep an existing one as our template, if I told you that it cost me $2,500 to acquire a new customer, I don't know. I think it's something like that. And what are those new edits that an existing customer might need? $500. Am I going to send somebody packing for $500 when I know it's going to cost $2,500 to bring a new somebody into our world? Absolutely not. I will eat that cost each and every day. In fact, I would jump on an airplane and go meet with a client. All the time I do that. I do 45 flights a year for the last 10 years. What's that cost? What's that worth for keeping and retaining, right? So think about how you acquire people, and I'll tell you how to use video in just a second, because it's actually a lot simpler than you might think. It takes 12 positive customer experiences to make up for one negative one. Amazing, right? Choose your battles wisely. I mean, I've had clients reach out to me and speak to me in demeaning tones. And then I have to think, is this worth 12 positive customer experiences, me pushing back? Or do I handle this like a graceful waiter that is there to serve them and finds joy in the art of serving? Because I want them to keep coming back. I can make modifications on the relationship, but I can't afford to always start over. It takes 12 customer positive experiences to make up for one negative experience. Bain & Company discovered a 5% increase in your customer retention can increase your company's profitability by 75%. Now, it all makes sense once I start talking with you about retention and how much money over the lifetime that customer is and how much more expensive it is to acquire one. A 5% increase in customer retention is something that everybody on your team can do. That's little. If we can retain 5% of our customers, we can increase our profitability 75%. Be using it as a guide, because the reality is, when they're your existing customer, they are the small hinges that swing big doors. 82%. Now, this comes right out of e-consultancy. 82% of companies that agree that retention is cheaper to execute than acquisition. I broke that down for you just a few moments ago. Retention is always cheaper to execute than acquisition. And the average repeat customer is going to spend 67% more in 31 to 36 months with a business than the average customer spends between months 0 and months 6. Bain & Company research. I'm going to do this one more time for you. You got to lodge that into your long-term memory. the average repeat customer spends 67% more in months 31 through 36th in the relationship with a business than they would between the months 0 and the month 6. As they become more comfortable, as they've gone through the struggles with you and they understand you're level-headed and they know that you have their best interest at heart, people will continue to bring their money to you so it could become your money so you could serve them. Now, if you are a chiropractor, a medical device company, a diagnostic company, a realtor, a consultant, a designer, a contractor, a chiropractor, it doesn't matter. I love that. It doesn't matter. Instead, what I want you to do is be thinking about how you can retain your existing customer. Now, for each of these that I just mentioned, and I'm sure this is going to work for your business also, even if you're an attorney, especially if you're an attorney. What I want you to do, let's start with somebody like a chiropractor. And by the way, if I don't mention your industry, that doesn't mean it can't be done in your industry. It means I'm laying out the blueprint right now. You're going to lift up that blueprint, move it down into your property, and you're going to say, how can I modify this so I can retain my existing customers and grow my business like a friggin' hockey stick? All right? So here goes. The first thing I want you to do is I want you to think about your process. If you're a chiropractor, you probably have your first consult. You probably, after you've met with them, you establish some type of a treatment plan. And then maybe the third stage is something like ongoing maintenance. Okay, I don't know. I haven't been to a chiropractor in a while. If you're a medical device manufacturer, it could be first meeting. It could be you've sent them the device. Maybe that's where it starts. You sent them a device. And then from there, they use the device and then they have to wait for replacements, maybe tips of the device or pieces that get switched out or software updates or somebody's going to need to clean the device. Think about what that process is. If you are a diagnostic company, your lab or a healthcare provider is going to take a sample. Let's say it's liquid, like blood. And then they ship it off. What is the shipment like? So when somebody fills out that form online, you should send them a video. I'm going to show you the systemization in just a second, but I want you to think about your process. If you're a consultant, you sign a deal, then you have a strategy meeting, then you start to work on their plan. If you're a designer, after the strategy, you probably start to work on the design. Everybody has, then you send them the design, then what? What's the next step? What do you want to graduate them to? And if everybody goes through the same step or almost every step, now you've got something where you can create a video. Hey, welcome to stage one, whatever stage one is in your world. Hey, welcome to the treatment plan or your consult. We just had the consult. I want to tell you about what happens next. And then paint that picture and put your face on camera or a member of your team. And then when your computer system switches that person from being a lead to a customer, boom, they get into stage one, your video fires off, whoosh, goes off into their inbox or their phone, boom. Oh, this is what happens in stage one. Now, the reason this is important is a vast majority of disgruntled clients and customers say the reason that they left is a lack of communication and a lack of transparency. And we didn't know what was going on. I always felt like I had to chase people around. Your job is to inject massive freaking clarity throughout the entire process because those people already love you. They've already decided to give you a chance. So make sure you systematize it. You do it once. You set it and forget it. When somebody goes towards the end of stage one, and you move them into stage two. Now we're in the strategy phase. Boom. Send them off a video that provides massive transparency. I've got a client that builds digital displays like the ones on that wall there or that wall there. And what they do, like if you go into a bank or a Target or, a hotel, and they've got these rotating displays on that are digital, or they do conference rooms and they build those out. Whenever they're building out projects, we've built, they've got 9 stages. We got a video for each of the 9 stages. And when that person on their team inside of their project system, like I think they use Rike. There's a lot of different project systems, but it's how they manage their existing project. When they move somebody from the strategy phase into the design phase, you know what happens? Set it and forget it, baby. The video goes off. Their customer gets the video and they get massive transparency. They're like, okay, welcome to the design phase. In this phase, you should expect that we're going to go through all of the layouts of how these rooms are going to look for you. And in this process, the first, I'm just BSing my way through it, but it's like something like, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to take our best guess based on what we've learned about your company and your needs and your pain and your struggles. And then we're going to provide it to you. And we're probably going to go back 3 or 4 times making modifications so it's perfect for you. By the way, this whole goal of this phase is to make it perfect for your needs. So when you get into the next phase, we're all plugging ahead and there's no confusion. So this is where we inject massive clarity on what the design's going to look like and how it's going to meet your needs. Once you get out of the design phase and that inside of the project management software, that employee selects that it's now into the next stage, the video goes off. You know what's going to happen? People are going to be delighted. They're going to come back. They're going to start referring you. At Wirebuzz, I'll give you one of ours, and we've got many. You know, the biggest frustration that happens, the biggest confusion in my industry is we don't know what our project is. We don't know what our videos look like. We're going to wait X number of weeks before we get to see our videos. And during that, it's going to build anxiety. And I'm going to have to talk to my boss. He's going to ask me every couple of days how the video project's coming, how the web dev's happening, how are the customer journeys coming, like all those things. So what we've done at the very beginning, when we come back, I'm just going to give you one of many. When we come back from a video shoot, that first 48 hours at our office is for our team to grab all of the behind the scenes photos. Because when we're on set, we take photos of our team working with their team working together. A lot of employees don't have any professionally produced photos of them working with their colleagues. And when they get to see the photos that aren't from cell phones, but are from like legit expensive professional cameras, they're like, damn, you guys are amazing. So what happens from there? They start sharing it socially. They share it internally. People start getting excited. They update their profiles. They send it out in a stakeholder email. Everybody's preaching the good gospel of Wirebuzz. Our logo is on the bottom of everything. We have systematized it. It happens within the first 24 to 48 hours. And it is amongst the best things we do in relationships because they let go. Our clients are no longer gripping for that first like 10 days while they're waiting for their rough draft. They're not trying to hold back their team. They're giving them little bite-sized things. And how long did it take us? Very little. We took the photos from the camera. We run them through. We color correct them. We add our logo, which you can systematize, and boom, off to them. We send them a Dropbox folder or whatever the company's doing now. And before you know it, people are already preaching the good Wirebuzz gospel. You can systematize your business. If you're a chiropractor, a device manufacturer, a contractor, a realtor, a consultant, a diagnostic company, it doesn't matter. You could be a tailor that makes custom men's suits and systematize it. So everybody knows what's next. And in doing so, if you have to wait 3 weeks or a month, I think when I got my custom suits made, it might take 3 to 4 weeks. And during that 3 to 4 weeks, I'm not even sure if I remember what the designs look like. But if you can send me a video telling me what's happening, and that they're, this is the phase where we actually take your measurements, what we already have, and they're cutting out fabric, and you don't have to do it fresh every time. Do it once, set it and forget it, send it off, and people will friggin' love you. And now you're growing repeat customers, because what keeps people from hiring you again is the feeling inside that they don't have a lack of clarity, transparency. And that builds irritation, frustration, confusion. We start weaving our own stories, and then resentment. Eliminate all those things, inject massive clarity, systematize it, and your business will start tapping into these amazing results, because you're 60 to 70% more likely to sell to an existing customer compared to 5 to 20% likely to sell to a new customer. The more you serve from your heart and you make it easy, the more you cater to the people that have already given you the magic word yes, the more they will stay with you and you could be on their amazing journey. And I know my company does this really well, because whenever one of our clients leaves and goes and gets a promotion at a new company, they bring us as part of their essential team. We go on that journey. I've got one client who's brought me to maybe 7 or 8 companies that he's worked on as a consultant for 10 years. And I'm still at every one of those companies. And when their internal employees leave, they bring us. You want to be contagious, like a good kind of contagious. And you want to spread your company's value with each and every person that gives you that magic word, yes. And you can do it super easy by following the zone 4 principles that I just laid out for you. Remember, the fourth zone, that is about using the power of video to engage your existing customers. Zone 1 is where you find people, where they discover you. I call it discovery. It could be social, could be email, could be ads, it could be a webinar. That is zone 1. The sole purpose of zone 1 is to move people into zone 2 when they're on your website. Zone 2 is your website, and it often revolves around a customer journey page. Zone 3 is how your salespeople use video personally to convince and convert. It does not happen in chronological order after zone 1 or zone 2. And zone 4 is only for your existing customers, and you want to ritualize that. If you want to learn more about how to use the power of video to grow your business in this new world and to dominate remote sales and to delight the people that have already given you the word yes, all you have to do, I've created 20 minutes of free learning, giving you some of my best strategies, and you can access that at wirebuzz.com/remote-sales, and I will continue to do my job on your behalf, serve you, bring you the latest information in the world of video marketing, and then bring that back so you can use it for your business, so you can become a video marketing master.